The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to The Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, on Biz Radio and channelradio.co.uk/2 on this Tuesday, the 2nd of January. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Sucking.
Were you ever a mod?
No. I was a biker.
Because there's a moped loan scheme I'm going to tell you about.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah.
It's called Wheels to Work. Mm. It's the number two at work, Wheels to Work. Mm. And they can help with a moped loan scheme that helps your employees save money and gain freedom to travel as and when needed. And they provide 50cc and 125cc mopeds. What does that mean? Like a pint, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pint and a half. With monthly payment of either 121...
Everything's a wine glass size, Chris. You know, don't worry about
large.
It.
Large.
Yeah.
£121.33.
That's nothing, is it?
Or £156 a month. That's the monthly payments per month.
Yeah.
The cost of road tax, insurance and breakdown assistance and servicing is all included within this. No brainer.
Plus the crash helmet and clothes.
Also, you read this?
Yeah.
Did you type it? They will also provide essential safety clothing, a waterproof jacket with protection, a high-vis sleeveless over jacket. As you know, I'm a huge fan of a man in a high-vis.
A bit of a gilet.
Yeah, I do love a high-vis. A crash helmet and waterproof gloves. I love those too because they go right up, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Like a gauntlet. So all of that is provided. And I can see Chris here making notes, so he's obviously excited by it. You can make sure that the employee is trained and safe to drive these mopeds too. The applicant should be over 16. They should live in Kent and either have a firm offer of a job, apprenticeship or training course, or already be in work, training or in the college. They should also check there is no easy public transport for their journey, which is a no-brainer in Kent, let's face it.
Absolutely.
Because there never is an easy journey in Kent.
Absolutely.
They also, which should be unsuitable for a bicycle, they're saying. Although they also run a separate scheme for cyclists. But didn't we have the guy that did this on the show 100 years ago that with the cycling?
Sustrans.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, okay. We did. That was a long time ago. I bumped into him in Fruitworks Cafe the other day.
Was he in his Lycra?
No, he wasn't. He doesn't work for Sustrans any longer.
No.
He works for Pilgrim's Trust.
That's true because I have seen him in his Lycra. Frequenting.
Well, you stalked him long enough.
Well,
yeah.
He was frequenting JoJo's, so I sat behind for quite a while. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, find out more about this. It's 3ws.w2kent. That's a bit difficult. w2wkent.co.uk. I suggest you go on to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and click on the link there. But that's great. So that's Help to Work. And we've always said this on the show, haven't we, Paul Andrews, that the transport is quite difficult for young people.
Yep.
To get the jobs.
Yep. Absolutely. And it's a brilliant scheme. Really clever scheme.
SEC Operations Limited. You heard of them?
Yeah. She's on a roll now.
Commonly known as South East Coachworks, a family-owned Faversham in business, who I've actually done some work with, are pleased to announce that Gordon Engraving Commercial, Roper Road, Canterbury, have joined the SEC group. Gordon Engraving and its staff will carry on trading as usual, but the 8 jobs at the site will be complemented with the introduction of an apprenticeship scheme, creating 3 new apprenticeships. So that's lovely. And it links in with what we were talking about earlier about apprentice.
Absolutely.
I like that sort of thing.
Absolutely. Bell's, I've got to dive in because she's not giving me a chance here,
is she, Chris? She's on a roll. Yeah.
Yeah. Bell's Business Beginners event is taking place at the Park Plaza Hotel in Victoria on Tuesday the 6th of February between 9:30 a.m. and 4 p.m. And it's going to provide you the vital tools you need when you start a business. And there's five elements that they're looking at. The first is law, the legal implications of hiring staff and how you manage them, plus all the other important legal requirements for running a business. Money, the most important part of running a business. You need to know how to manage your cash flow, how to get the most of your accountant and professional advisors, and everything you need to know about managing money. Sales, how to sell yourself. Visibility, credibility and profitability. Marketing, identifying your ideal client and then using the right platform for you and your business. And then how to run a business. We have so much to think about when you start a business. It's easy to miss everything out. At the Bell's Beginners Business event, we will give you the information and advice on the bits you must have in place to ensure your business is a success. We have 4 great speakers, each an expert in their field. We have Joanne Bell, who's the founder and owner of Bell's Accountants. She's also a serial entrepreneur and a very clever lady. David Taylor, who's the co-author of two books on digital and social media marketing. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, owner of Orchard Employment Law, HR and Employment Law Specialist. And Julia Bernard-Thompson, who's a high-profile sales and business coach. Bell's Business Beginners Events is a full-day event with lunch and refreshments throughout the day. You can book your ticket by going to butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk/Bell's Business Beginners. That's butterfliesbusinessevents.co.uk, Bell's Business Beginners.
There's a first aid at work, which is a 3-day course running on the 5th, 6th and 7th of February. It's £225 per person plus your VAT. And there's also a dedicated course to help at your premises for up to 12 people. And the cost of that is £1,275 plus VAT. There is also, on the 7th and 8th of March, a first aid at work requalification, which is a 2-dayer. And that's £170 per person plus VAT. And if you want to find out more, contact Jeremy Hinchcliffe, who's the director. And they are on thefirstaidteam.co.uk. That's first, which is spelt out, thefirstaidteam.co.uk. And you can email him, jeremy@thefirstaidteam.co.uk. Sounds good, that one.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Street Soccer CIC. That's their Twitter handle. And it says, announcement, our next Street Soccer Academy courses in Kent starts the week commencing Monday the 22nd of January. To apply for a limited free place, email us now for an application form. And the best way to do that is to follow them on the Twitter, Street Soccer CIC is their Twitter handle.
The planning system in England is more complex, costly and difficult for businesses than it was 5 years ago, according to a major report which was published on Monday by the British Chamber of Commerce. And the BCC, the British Chamber of Commerce report, says that 5 years after the introduction of the National Planning Policy Framework, known as the NPPF, which was designed to make the system less complex and more accessible, businesses are experiencing too many delays and barriers to investment. And the report also finds that the government's focus on new homes is leading to increased pressure on the availability of employment land and premises. A BCC survey of over 900 businesses across the county revealed that one in five firms are struggling to find the land and the premises they need. The report says that the government's preoccupation with housing at the expense of other land uses is also leading to localised tensions. New homes are being built adjacent to long-established businesses in towns and cities and causing serious problems both for residents and businesses. And the report urges the government to review the NPPF to ensure that the needs of businesses are on equal footing with other stakeholders.
Thank you. We've had a tweet from Joanne Fraser, and she says, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, just wishing you all a happy new year, and that is all. I love listening to the show.
Oh, who's that from?
Joanne Fraser.
Hello.
And Storm Chasers Digital say, hi, Vanilla Web, looking forward to another great year of Business Bunker shows helping Kent businesses. Could we have a shout-out, please, for the monthly WordPress Academy, which is launching at Dragon Co-working on the 9th of January? It's free, but registration is needed. So you can register for your free WordPress place at eventbrite.co.uk/WordPress Academy.
Well, of course, we did read that out at the beginning of the show, but it's always good to give them another shout-out.
Did you?
Yeah, I did, diligently.
Did you?
Yeah,
you've been reading from the top of the queue again.
I read it diligently.
You've been reading from the top of the queue again, haven't you?
I might have done.
Yeah.
And just to let you know, there's a clamouring about Slope Off Friday. We are having a Slope Off Thursday special. It's February the 1st. It's a special. It won't usually be on a Thursday, but we're going to the Yarrow Hotel in Broadstairs, which on a Thursday is a student day, so the student chefs and hospitality will be serving us. It's £13 something per head for a 3-course meal. Do join us. It's me and Andrew Knott, aka Knott 20 of the FSB, and we always have a ball. Look at Slope Off Friday Twitter handles to see the fun we have. But we do a lot of business, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely. I've had an email from the Kent Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, hello, Paul, just dropping by with some information on our next free business startup course in January. If starting a business or a career change is on your New Year's resolutions list, we can definitely help you out. This time round, we've got an evening course which proved pretty popular last time with 15 participants. So if you're thinking of joining us then, it's best to book on sooner rather than later. If it's not for you, but think a friend, colleague or acquaintance might be interested, then just hit the share button and spread the word. The course is a fantastic way to develop your ideas into a sustainable business. Plus, the bonus of a group workshop means you get to start building your business and collaborating with others who are in the same boat as you. All workshops are being held in the heart of Maidstone at the state-of-the-art business facility, the Business Terrace. And the next one starts on Monday, the 8th of January. You can find out all about it by going to the website www.businessinmaidstone.co.uk/events. That's businessinmaidstone.co.uk/events.
Curry and Beer, Kasturi Restaurant in Hayes. It's the 25th of January. Kane and Beer would like to thank all the valued clients and business partners for a great Christmas and wish you all a prosperous 2018. And they say we're kicking off our 2018 with Curry and Beer Evening at the following restaurant. And it's at 6:30 p.m. on the 25th of Jan, as I said. It's the Kasturi Restaurant, 8 Station Approach in Bromley. They say it's a relaxed and formal way of networking for a reasonable cost, £25, entitling you to a free drink, starter and a main of your choice, breads and rice. Please go to the email, which is info@caineandbeer.co.uk. And they say they always have curry and beer nights also in Ashford, Croydon and Maidstone. Have you ever been to one of those, Paul?
Curry and Beer?
Yeah.
No.
I often fancy going there, but...
Yeah, well, they're gradually moving into the rest of Kent, so hopefully they're going to reach us soon.
Well, I mean, Ashford's not a trek for you.
No, but at the moment they're currently in Hayes.
Yeah, Bromley.
Which is Bromley.
Yeah.
Which is a trek.
Which used to be Middlesex.
No, Hayes is in Middlesex.
Yeah, well, in the old days, I think Bromley was.
No.
And Beckenham and all that. They're now London, yeah.
No.
They were in rural.
No, you're wrong.
Am I?
Yeah, hold on.
Or Kent?
They were Bromley and Beckenham.
Kent.
Are in Kent.
Yes.
And are still in Kent, but they're London boroughs.
Yes.
Hayes is in Bromley and is also a Hayes in Middlesex.
Middlesex, yes.
Thank you.
Or a Hayes, depending on how much you've drunk at New Year.
Yeah.
With a Z.
Yeah. She says.
It's hard to follow this.
Yeah.
You can... The ramblings. The test... You can test out a new digital hub. I want to do this. British Business Bank, the BBB, is running a survey to find small business owners to test out the development of new digital hub for scale-up companies. The hub will provide information to help SMEs choose the finance options best suited to them. The survey takes about 3 minutes to complete, and you can go to the website, which will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Absolutely.
Go to that and do it.
Do you know what?
We're going to talk to Chris.
I've had enough of you.
I've had enough of you.
I've had enough of you. I want to talk to someone sensible.
Far too sluggish for the beginning of the year.
I want to talk to someone sensible.
I regret every mince pie, frankly.
Do you? Yeah.
Do you know, I haven't had one mince pie this year.
Last year, even.
Right.
I would have brought you one in. I've got some Riverford award-winning ones in my kitchen.
You see.
Had you told me.
Hey, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome back, after quite a break, but to welcome back nonetheless, Mr. Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics. Chris, thank you so much for making the trek all the way down here to join us.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Chris is currently ensconced up there in deepest, darkest Lincolnshire, where there'll be dragons.
There'll be dragons
and up
there.
And sausages.
Yeah.
Or Lincoln sausages, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. He's foregone the green tights and the Robin Hood hat to come and see us.
Well, that's talking.
That's Nottinghamshire.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. Sherwood Forest.
I thought it was Lincoln Green. Yeah.
Well, geography isn't really our strong point.
I could put
point.
My imp suit on. Yeah.
Well, the women on the Twitter are raving about him, looking
I'm
very
surprised.
Dapper.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they're all raving.
It looks
about
very
him.
Dapper. That
of course, some of it's the photography.
It's all the photography, believe me.
Chris, thank you so much for joining us again. Why don't you kick off by telling the listener about you and what you do, what Chameleogenics is all about?
Yeah. So, Chameleogenics now, we're in year 3, and we started off really focusing on business process redesign using lean and systems thinking.
Right.
Really, the aim of the game was to focus on small, medium businesses, and that was really where the passion was, because I had lots of background in this lean and systems thinking, having worked in the public sector for a number of years. And I thought, actually, SMEs could really do with some of this. And I could see how businesses were approaching year on year. And you kept hearing this statistic about business, small businesses going down the pan, which I find is really sad.
Yeah, it is.
You know what the percentage
is. Yeah, the failure rate's really high.
Yeah, especially in the first 5 years.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, actually, I've got some really quick and easy stuff that we could deploy in businesses to help businesses be more cost effective. But the main thing is, and you know this yourself, if you start chasing after the pounds, shillings and pence, you're going to come a cropper.
Yep.
And we were talking earlier with Jules about the value, and it's the customer that perceives the value of your business or your service. So focusing on safety and quality first and foremost. And when I talk about safety, I'm not just talking about in safety critical industries such as like aviation or healthcare, but the safety of your own business. So you're losing something in your business that is required by your client can actually be really damaging. And once your reputation goes, you're gone.
Yeah.
So focusing on safety and quality, and then productivity and efficiency. If you get those four elements correct, then guess what? You get a cost saving out of it. It may not be immediate, although often I can guarantee that I'll go into a business and find one. But over the long term, if you're thinking you can only, if you were trying to save just, save 50 quid a week, you start totting that up over the year, you've suddenly made a huge cost saving and investment.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that was the start off for Camellia Genics. But as it transpired, you know, it was interesting listening to your program on the Bunker Extra just before Christmas with Amanda and with Gemma about goal setting and plans. That was the goal. That was the plan. But things conspired.
It didn't survive, did it?
It didn't survive. So,
yes.
you're not vindicated, Mr. Andrews, at all. You're not vindicated. We diversified.
Exactly.
That's it. Yeah. So actually, I ended up going back in doing some work with adult social care,
right,
and also with the NHS with GP practices, which I've been doing for about 18 months.
But intrinsically, a GP practice is a small business.
Oh, without doubt.
Yeah.
Gone are the days where it's the small doctor who grabs the little black bag and lives in a little cottage somewhere in the West Country and can spend hours and hours with patients. Those days are long gone. These are, let's be clear, yes, it's funded by very different mechanisms in through the NHS, and they are providing the service, but these are businesses, and they have to make ends meet. And they have the added complication, of course, that they are a highly regulated and need to be a safe service.
They have to answer to...
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. With the CQC inspections, in fact, just the daily, you just do not want any incident. Everyone has some sort of horror story for when they've been in the healthcare system.
I have about six.
Yeah, well, the healthcare system, it's massive. It's a massive machine, and it's governed by so many different agencies. And at the end of the day, the GPs or the GP partners in many cases are still businessmen, and they have to grow the business and keep it running. And it's really, really difficult when there's such a demand on the system.
Absolutely. So you've kind of made this slight drift away from your initial point, although there's no reason why you can't drift back towards that.
Well, and using that word carefully, the plan or the goal for 2018 is to do absolutely that. I still want to, because I'm really passionate about the healthcare services, and it's really important that we look after this. Use this word carefully, the beast that is our NHS service, because it's that, without getting too political, and I said I wouldn't do this on there, but it can be used as a political pawn.
And
I use the analogy that I spoke about earlier, remembering the 80s, I think it was, 80s and 90s, where we had a big problem with cod supplies in the North
yeah.
Sea.
Yeah.
Basically, we had an abundance of cod initially. We fished it and fished it and fished it until the cod supplies are gone, and then everyone went pollock.
Yeah.
And basically, we had to supplement cod with pollock. And, yeah. and everyone thought that was the end of the tradition.
Mm.
And the fact of the matter was, we just fished it until it was near extinction.
Yeah.
And luckily today, it's been brought back and turned around. We're at a point where the cod supplies return. But the NHS, in many cases, is being used like the fish were in the North Sea.
Mm.
People are using it and using it and using it, and in lots of cases it's being abused. And yeah. sooner or later somebody will cry foul and they'll wake up one morning and it won't be there anymore.
Mm.
And I promise I'll get off my soapbox on this, but for instance, doing capacity and demand work in GP practices as I am at the moment, when you go in there, you'll often be asked by the reception staff, can I ask what your appointment is for?
Mm.
Now, this isn't just because they're being nosy. They really are not interested in what your health condition is. What they are trying to do is direct you...
Shift you off to somewhere else.
To the most appropriate healthcare professional.
Mm. Mm.
So that could mean within a GP practice, you've got the GPs themselves.
The nurses.
You've got pharmacists. You've got practice nurses, nurse practitioners, healthcare assistants. I'll give you an example. Coming in and saying, oh, I want my blood pressure checked with a GP is not a good use of a GP time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
A healthcare assistant could do it a fraction of the time, fraction of the cost,
yep.
and reserve yep. those precious GP services.
And yet, I had a urinary infection just before Christmas. I thought, this is going to flare up over Christmas. And I went in and I said, can I have a bottle to pee in?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in the old days, they would dipstick it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, I don't want to see a doctor. And she said, oh, we don't do that anymore. You have to see your GP. And I had to make an appointment, which was 3 days later, by which time the infection got worse. I then had to have antibiotics. She dipped it and she said I had, I don't know, something, protein or something, or red blood cells or something. But that was her time.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the old days, I could have just... peed in a bottle and somebody would dipstick the nurse. It doesn't have to be a GP.
She didn't even go to the doctors for that. She's just walking in the pub.
Yeah. but I actually, Jules, you've hit on something that's absolutely, it's one of the key areas, because we have such a variation of levels of service from location, even within localities.
Yeah.
So the general public get confused,
yeah,
and they don't know.
So in Lincoln, could I have taken a bottle in and just done
it? Who knows? I can't comment from there.
Little gin bottle or something.
But certainly there are places that would have that urine analysis type.
Yeah, it
type
was
service.
Laborious. It was old. It was really old school. Yeah,
phlebotomy, blood taking services. There are still some GP practices that do it. There are others that don't. And this, a part of the work that I do is about education and making sure that we get a consistent message.
Yeah.
Because in any change management regime, it's consistent messages and communication. And quoting John Cotter, the change management or change leadership guru, says communicate 1,000 times, then 1,000 times more, and 1,000 times after that.
Yep.
And getting the consistent message across the board is really, really vital, which is why sometimes when I see some of the Public Health England adverts on the TV saying, you've had a cough for 3 weeks, go and make an appointment with your GP. It's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, make an appointment with a qualified healthcare professional. You know?
Yeah.
So what do you think about the new ads that we're seeing where you can go online and pay to see a doctor?
Well, that's somebody looking at the marketplace.
Mm.
And in fact, in the London area, the NHS are trialling it as well. The market is there, but again, that's going to be a premium service. And we were talking before off air about premium service.
Mm.
So, for instance, you go to a bargain airline and you pay 50 quid to get your seat. You don't have your seat or you have your seat allocated for you and all the rest of it. If you want to pay that premium...
But it's on the wing.
Exactly. But you want to pay your premium service, then... you can have your allocated your speedy boarding or whatever it is, your fast track, your extra leg room, extra baggage and all the rest of it. But you have to pay a premium. Now, the NHS, of course, the mantra is it's free at the point of use for everyone. And that is the political fact. What you've just talked about in a lot of cases are premium service. Yes, you can access it, but it's going to cost you money. And it's no different to things like companies such as your Boopers.
Absolutely.
It's been going for many years doing the same thing.
But it's interesting because, we're not here just to talk about the NHS. Obviously, we want to talk about Chris's work, but he does a lot of work in the NHS at the moment. But it's interesting, isn't it? Because you've got this push doctors, whatever they're called, which is this service. You've also got pharmacists that are doing a lot of online prescriptions for various things, you know, in all kinds of fields as well.
Hugely knowledgeable, the pharmacists.
Yeah,
aren't
absolutely.
They?
But you can do it online. You know, yeah. you can get, you know, blood pressure pills and testosterone shots and all kinds of different things. What are you looking at me like that for?
I'm just raising my eyebrows.
I'm just telling you what you can do because I've seen it. I've never used it, so I don't know what it's like. But you can do all kinds of things with online setups, but they all cost you money, which is the point you were making.
Yeah. And this is a piece of transformation work that I'm doing in one part of the country. We've actually got the new web pages all set up now. So you can actually go online to your own GP practice and ask the GP a question. Now, this is revolutionary because the GP can then take a look at it and almost do like a triage and say, actually, we need to bring this person in and we can get an appointment made. Or actually, it could have saved an appointment. Just for interest, do you know how long a GP appointment is in minutes?
Oh, I know that... isn't it something ridiculous, like 3 minutes or something?
It's 10 minutes.
Is it 10?
It's 10 minutes. But what that 10 minutes involves, it's...
you go in, you take your coat off, you shuffle around.
Right. The clock starts ticking from the moment that they hit the buzzer and say, come from the waiting room. That 10 minutes starts running. And also, it's one slot, one condition or one issue. So when you sit in there and say... Oh, I've come in with my gammy arm.
Yeah.
Oh, and can I have a look at my knee?
While
and
I'm here.
Can I have a look at my foot? Exactly. And that's why suddenly you're sat in the waiting room and you're waiting for an hour and a half for your appointment. So, again, it's about patient education. It's one appointment, 10 minutes, and...
I'm amazed it's 10 minutes. I didn't realise it was that long, actually. I thought it was a lot less.
Oh, it goes in a blink of an eye when you're there, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So,
cool. Let's focus for a little while, Chris, on the kind of work you're doing and how you're doing it in these various things, you know, not just GP practices, but other places that you're doing it. So what's the kind of things that you're focusing on with you doing it when you're doing what you do, and how do you deploy that? Is it as a consultancy type approach or is it a workshop? How does that work?
Well, it very much depends. Again, talking about the customer value. If, for instance, you were to come to me and you say, hey, Chris, I've got this issue. And normally when you start chatting to a business owner, they will start off talking about one thing that's an issue. And as the story progresses, then actually it's another issue, another issue, another issue. If I can relate back to a story that you spoke about on the show a couple of weeks back, and I know you've been talking tongue-in-cheek, but you were talking about photocopiers and printers.
Yep.
And at the time, you mentioned about just-in-time delivery of printer cartridges. But I think it was you and Martin were saying, isn't it typical, whenever you go to print out a document, that's the time that you really need
your printer
it.
Runs
that's
out.
When the printer runs out. So you talked to me about that sort of scenario. And what we do is basically, it's a brief chat for a start. And we understand what really is the problem.
Sure.
Is the problem the fact that your printer just runs out and it's a rubbish printer, or actually is it something fundamental within the business? I'm using this as a least example.
No, absolutely.
That actually your stock control process is a shot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a spare ink thing.
There you go.
In a little cardboard box.
And that's what you would call a Kanban system. So you've always got the next one.
So what do you call that?
Kanban.
Kanban?
Yeah, K-A-N-B-A-N. So two bins, that's what it means.
Okay.
So you've always got a replacement stock ready to go. So,
but then what happens is you get the stock. I've done this before. I've been very, very diligent. I've got all the new ink and that. And then the printer breaks and it's irreplaced. Okay. So you've got all this ink that you just take to charity shop.
But in that case, you've overordered.
Yes.
So, and there you go. I've just saved you quids in a second of consultancy.
So, yeah, you fool.
I will actually. I'll talk about this organisation I went into. You know the, because you were talking about photocopiers on the show. And this is the steps that I go through. So first thing is identify the value. I identify the problem. The second thing is to map the value stream. And that means going into there and taking the lid off things and having a look. So I went into this organisation and they had one of these multi-printers, the big photocopier jobs.
Yeah.
And in there you've got four cartridges.
Yeah.
You've got a blue, a yellow and a magenta and also the black cartridge as well. Okay, that's fab. Open the stock cupboard and there's a spare black, spare magenta, spare blue, spare yellow. Absolutely brilliant. Hold on a second. There's another one, another full set of four and another... and another, and another. And honestly, it was five sets were sitting there. And each set of these cartridges at the time were retailing around about 150 quid,
yeah.
I think it was. So I went back to the person who did the ordering, and it was the lady who sat on reception, totally detached from the situation. And I said, when do you reorder cartridges? She said, oh, I just do it monthly. I just tick the box.
No.
So here's the problem. So you've got now sort of like eight or 900 quid's worth of stock just sitting there. But here's the other problem, Jules, that you've actually, at the bottom, you've got the oldest stock. So the new ones are going on top. And it's what we call a first in, last out. So our philo system.
Mm. It's a bit like Jules reading my tweets.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Same example. So what's happening... people are always taken from the top.
Mm.
So when you go through and have a look at this stock revision, you find that not only have you got £900 worth of stock sitting there redundant, and monthly you're throwing 150 quid onto the pile, at the bottom you've got stuff that has got a life expiry.
Yeah.
And basically there's only one place to put that, and that's recycling or the skip.
Mm.
And so it's a throwaway. And as you demonstrated as well, when you said, what happens if the printer goes bust and you need a new model or whatever?
You've got all that
stock.
Would also apply, sorry to interrupt, but with hospitality, you know, all the stock taken with food going off, flour and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. Any sort of consumables at all.
Mm.
So stock is just one part of it, but it's really, to answer Paul's question.
That's also, Chris, about their communication, isn't it? You know, that the lady behind the desk was not being told, actually, we've got loads, stop it for the month.
And this is the mapping the value stream. So when you map the value stream, you map the process, you understand who is involved in the process, where the interactions occur, how the communication is and everything. Because it's one thing to understand the process, great. But the second thing is to really understand how all of the different handoffs and interactions. And another thing you were talking about on the Bunker Show... a few weeks ago, God, it feels like I'm listening all the time, hanging on your every word.
I hope you are.
I am. But you were talking about automation and customer service.
Mm.
And we all know what it's like when you phone up and you get, please press one for this and two for that and all the rest of it.
Exasperating.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of automation. But automation has to work in sync with your processes, and it is not the be-all and end-all. So often you'll see organisations, wow, I've just bought a new piece of shiny software and throw it on the top of their existing processes and expect it to solve all the problems.
Mm.
And it simply isn't the fact. The way to do it is to understand your process and then find the solution that actually will enhance the process, and not forgetting the customer service element every time any person in your organisation speaks to the customer, it's your reputation, it's your handoff. So working with businesses to actually promote it from an end-to-end perspective, which is why I blend together lean, which is the nuts and bolts, if you like, the Japanese sort of way of doing things, but also systems thinking, because the two fundamental differences are that in lean, you're reducing variation. Mm. So if you're producing widgets, that's great. So you produce a widget that is the same size, the same characteristic every single time, no problem. In systems thinking, it's with the service sector, you've got to embrace variation, because when you're dealing with people, you can't treat them in a one size fits all.
Absolutely.
Everyone has to be treated on their own merits.
Mm. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with you 100%. It's and that's the thing with things like automation. People tend to use it as a weapon rather than as an aid. And it works as an aid. It doesn't work as a weapon.
That's it. That's it. Mm. So with that, if I can just briefly, the five key principles that I work on is specify the value. So understand what the value is from the customer perspective, okay, because they're the people who hold the value. And if people don't value your service, your business, your product, you ain't got business.
Absolutely.
It's going to be there. The second thing is going in and mapping your process end to end and have a look at everything for good and for bad. And often the thing that I hear is what should happen, or what the policy states happens.
Yeah, what
and,
should happen.
But I'm not interested in what should happen. I really want to know what does happening. What is happening. And you'll be surprised, well, you probably wouldn't be surprised, but how many things are actually happening in your business. And you think, really? Is that going on?
Yeah.
Why is that going on?
Yeah.
And it's only when you take the lid off it and you see it visually, you're just like, wow. The third element is about creating flow. So that's reducing the waste out of the business. And I picked on one thing, which was inventory, but there's seven other key areas that I would look at.
Tell us the others.
So transportation, which is moving stuff from one place to another. Inventory, which is the stock, as I talked about. Motion, which is people physically moving from one place to another. Employees, for instance. Waiting. So waiting when things go down, or waiting for a response, or waiting for anything.
Waiting for Godot.
Overproduction, which is producing too much of something that the customer is unwilling to pay for. Overprocessing, it's my favorite one, this one. People are talking about online systems. They start off with a manual system. I'm patting the desk here like everyone can see. I'm on radio.
Well, you are. You are being periscoped, so
fantastic.
Are on my Twitter.
But people have manual paper systems for a start. Then they take it to the next level and they build themselves a database that is an actual Excel sheet, but they call it a database. Then they'll get an automated system. But because belt and braces, they'll end up entering things on paper, in an Excel, and on the system as well. So that's over-processing. Defects and rejects. So if you make a wrong widget, that can be very, very costly. But also, if we talk about going back to the safety element as well, for instance, something like aviation. Or in fact, there's a very well-known supermarket that had a bit of a foobar at Christmas with their turkeys.
The turkeys.
I don't know if you heard about that one.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Outrageous.
So those are defects and rejects. And how much reputation damage has that done for the business next year? Because I guarantee there'll be lots of people who will not be buying their turkeys from that particular supermarket.
Exactly. Mm.
So defects and rejects are the other one. So those are the main areas that you would look at. So that's about creating flow. The next thing is about establishing pull, which is basically pulling things through a process rather than pushing. Because if I push things through, you end up with an in-tray or an inbox that is really massive. Mm. So it's about pulling things through. So, and this is your just-in-time demand, as you spoke about. And the last bit is to seek perfection. And this is where lots of businesses fail, because they think, okay, we've done our lean initiative. That's it. We did lean last year. We're fine. But actually, the trick is to keep continuous improvement, completely go through it again and again and again, and embed it so it's your way of working. So, and curiously enough, I've got an online course coming up on the 8th of February that I will put the link on the Twitter everything. That I'm doing a Lean Thinking for Entrepreneurs masterclass online that people can access. It will take about an hour-ish, hour, maybe two, depending on how many questions. But it's an opportunity to actually get some of these, this insight and all the rest of it. I'm giving it away for absolute free because I'm so passionate about this. I just want to share it. So yeah. I'll share that on the Twitter if that's okay.
Yeah, and we will certainly help promote that, Chris, because I think that's fantastic. And I totally agree with you. And one of the things, not so much in very small businesses, but in any other size organisation, and certainly in big corporates and public sector organisations, when I had a proper job many, many years ago, one of the things that used to drive me nuts as a senior manager, and I pushed for very hard, was zero-based budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because what would happen is you'd ask a division or a department or a business to set a budget. What they'd do is they take last year's budget
yes.
and add 10%.
Yes. Yeah?
And then it would grow and 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 grow until it's completely out of kilter. With zero-based budgeting, what I'm asking you to do is start from scratch with nothing. And start from scratch and justify what it is you want to spend and why you want to spend it. Because so many things go missing in that loop of just adding 10% every time. Yeah. And you've budgeted for stuff that you're never going to do because you stopped doing it years ago because you did something else. So all of that kind of lean thinking, I absolutely adore. And I think it's the perfect way to start looking at running a business. And even if you are a very small business, you still need to look at those processes. You still need to look at how you budget. You still need to look at just-in-time things that you were talking about in terms of inventory. Absolutely.
I agree. And, you know, I'm going to pick a couple of modest examples. But you take, for instance, like a plumbing business. Mm. Now, if you wanted to be the all-singing... I don't know too much about the plumbing business, yeah. I hasten to ask. But if you... but if you were to fill your plumbing van up with every make of water pump for a heating system, you would go bust.
Yeah.
Because there are so many variations. So you don't.
Yeah.
You get the one that you require, which is why when you rock up to someone's house, absolutely. But again, going back to this communication thing, telling your customer this is the reason why and all the rest of it. It seems absolutely clear as day that you should communicate with your customer. But so many people fail on that one. They just do not tell. I don't know if it's because, if I say that, then they'll think that I'm not worthy or that my business is too small or whatever. But I think people are often reluctant to tell people
the
exactly
truth.
Without a shadow of a doubt, you know, you see that all the time, don't you? And especially a lot of those kind of domestic support trades, for want of a better word, you know, it can be a bit of a nightmare. You call someone and they'll go, yeah, I'll be with you tomorrow. And they don't show up. Yeah. And then, you know, oh, sorry, I had an urgent job. You know, why don't you just ring me and tell me that then?
Mm. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, our friends at the, I won't mention them by name, but the communications network are in charge of the lines. Mm. They are terrible for it.
Yeah, absolutely. So you never believe them because you're thinking, well, if that was true, why don't you just tell me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my water filter, I wanted to replace it just before Christmas, and I phoned my local guy who's got his sticker on my water filter. So it takes out all the chlorine and rubbish stuff. And I phoned him very sweetly. He was on the driving, so I said, okay, I'll text you, remind you my address, blah, de blah. Never heard from him. So then I phoned him, left a voicemail, never heard from him. Then I phoned him again, got to speak to him, and he said, yeah, okay, I'll get back to you. In the end, I gave up and I ordered it on Amazon Prime. It came the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And now over Christmas, he's phoned me and didn't leave a voicemail, but he's obviously phoning to say I can get it in or something. I haven't bothered to phone him because I'm busy and I'm here. But he's lost a customer.
Yeah,
but he's put his sticker. Will you go back there? No, I can get it the next day on Amazon.
Yeah,
which is sad because I love local trades. You know,
and this is my whole point about lean thinking for entrepreneurs or small businesses, that it doesn't matter what your size is, you can gain a lot from utilizing lean tools and techniques. And
absolutely,
you don't have to be your Toyota Japanese organization. You can apply some really simplistic things. And we were talking about decluttering earlier, just by having everything in the right place at the right time just saves you time. If I could give you the gift of 1 hour per week, what could you do with that in your business?
Absolutely.
You know, and just by not having to hunt for things.
If you gave me an hour, I could declutter.
There you go.
Absolutely. We're fast running out of time. And if you don't mind, Chris, I'd just like to focus on something else that I know is a bit passionate to you. Last year wasn't the greatest year for you on a number of dimensions, and I'm not going to force you to talk about that, obviously, if you don't want to.
No, that's fine.
But I'm interested in hearing how you coped with some quite horrible personal circumstances in a fairly new business, and how you managed to hold that all together, and you moved home from one end of the country to the other end of the country, because you don't do things by half, do you, mate?
No, if you're going to go for it, go for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, and I'll just share with the listeners, unfortunately, my daughter Sophie passed away at the age of 17 in May this year. She had cystic fibrosis and had steadily got poorlier until in early May. It was fairly evident that things weren't going the way they should do. Anyway, she did pass away, and I was with her at the hospital, understandably, from most of March and April, which obviously when you're trying to run a very small business and being the main person, and I have to say at this point, my partner Sandra was an absolute rock, because she kept us afloat on the other side as well. I have to say that.
And she travels a lot with her work.
And she travels a lot with work. So it was a really tough time. We were both having a struggle with it. And she passed away, and then you have the stuff like funerals and bits and pieces.
Which takes up so much time.
Yeah, it does. The thing was, and this is my big learning from it, I talked about communication quite a lot, but I was upfront with my clients, and I said, look, here's the situation. I'm really sorry. I'm not going to be able to deliver as well as I can do at the moment. And... do you know, people are really, really amazing because the network of my clients, without exception, basically, and I gave them the option. I said, look, I understand your business still needs to run. And if you need to go elsewhere, go elsewhere. And they said, nothing that won't keep. And basically, they went on hold until I could come back and allowed me to have a slow.
And that shows you the power of communication, doesn't it? Communicating and having a relationship with your clients. And that, you know, in those circumstances shows you everything you need to know about why that's so important.
Obviously it was a really tough time. It still is.
Yeah, and, of course. Know, it would be blunt. No, but, and we appreciate you sharing that, Chris. I know it's difficult. But
you were saying to me when we had a loo break that you did a
together. I saw them leave together.
That you did a speech very, very quickly after.
I did.
That.
Yeah. I'd had a prior speaking engagement at a hospital, which was, I think it was something like the 18th of May, which was literally 7 days after. And the speaking engagement was my other passion, which is it's about human factors and safety management in hospitals. And I just thought to myself, I know that Sophie would have wanted me to deliver that powerful message, because if I could, by delivering that message and raising awareness, if I can prevent just one piece of harm occurring to a patient, then it's been worthwhile of me struggling, not struggling through it, but just putting myself out there. So I did made the conscious decision to do this speaking engagement, and I'm so pleased I did, because the feedback was phenomenal. It was a tough gig.
Well, you were raw.
Oh, very, very much, and probably didn't realise how raw, if I'm being perfectly honest. However, got back on the horse, and it was something. I did it for Sophie, and I did it for me. And you can never measure this. You never know. But if one person took away one nugget from that seminar, and it's prevented a patient safety incident, then it was well worthwhile. So,
Chris, thank you so much. For that, sorry to rush you. We're kind of fast approaching the show. I want you to give a shout out for your website and your Twitter handle, and any way that you want people to get in touch with you to find out more about the work that you do with Chameleogenics.
Okay, so the website is artandscienceofchange.com, which is all one word. Chameleogenics, which I've written down this time so I don't stumble over it like I did last time. Follow us on the Twitter, which is at Chameleogenics, spelt C-H-A-M-E-L-E-O-G-E-N-I-C-S. And I'll do that once in phonetics just to prove I was an air trafficker. Charlie Hotel, Alpha Mike, Echo Lima, Echo Oscar Golf, Echo November, India Charlie Sierra.
Fantastic.
So much better than mine.
Exactly. Yeah, well, Jules makes her own up.
And I've the 8th of Feb, your free network, your free workshop.
I've got the online course. And also there's a link on my page for a new mastermind group where I'd love people to come and join. And we can talk for hours about all of this process improvement stuff. Thank you very much.
Chris, thank you so much for doing that. We've reached the end of the show now. I need to tell you about the Business Bunker Extra show on Friday. Just before Christmas, we did a special as a one-off to see what it was like. And we discussed goals, as Chris made reference to. Well, this Friday at 11 o'clock, Amanda Flanders, Molly Wright and myself will be discussing motivation. So please tweet the Bunker Extra show with your thoughts, feelings and questions on motivation and join us on the Business Bunker Extra show at 11 o'clock on Friday, where we will be talking about motivation. But I'd just like to say a huge thank you to today's show for listening in, to our sponsors, Maureen Chiana, to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin.
It's slightly hairy, apparently.
Our bear-like...
Fluffy
co-host, to our wonderful guest, Mr. Chris Hyde of Chameleogenics.
Thank you.
And to the interviews that Amanda did at the Grow Kent show. We'll be back next Tuesday with another show. Listen to the Bunker Extra show on Friday. But for the moment, thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
See you all soon. Bye-bye. Bye. Oops.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.